Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as...
So I recently watched Josie and the Pussycats. I never watched it in the early 2000s. I know, little Latinx indie music queen me should have been watching this. But I feel like that was peak me trying to be like, oh, I don't want to watch these like pop movies, even though I was really into pop.
Hipster.
Back then,
even though it's like satire.
I'm totally shading myself because I made fun of myself, but when I watched it with my best friends in LA, I was like, holy shit, this is really queer coded. Like Rosie and Josie, I think that was her name, but they should have been together. Like they were in love with each other.
I have to rewatch.
Look,
like there is moments where they have a little banter and they fight and they're like mad at each other and trying to like break up the band. Or her name's Valerie. Rosario Dawson's character is named Valerie. But they had a little like tiff that almost felt like they were a couple and they were like mad at each other. And then at the end of the movie, spoiler alert for those who haven't seen it, this movie 20 came
years
out.
Later.
Yeah.
25 like, years later.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's like they were just like, oh, well, I love you and I love you too. And I just want us to succeed. And then it's like they should have made out. They should have been making out.
Like she bend it like Beckham.
Yeah, she shouldn't have like gone with that like washed ass chancla wearing white boy singing acoustic sets. Like, why was she into him? They should have been like in love together.
Yes.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona plus one? What's up? Hi.
First of all, soy la chingona. Soy la. What is it? No.
Oh no! Not the 69.
Corrido. I was like, aren't you in La Cali? You should have had that down.
No, I should not have had that down.
Well, anyways, if y'all didn't recognize the voice by now, introduce yourself.
Hello, y'all. I'm Pat, aka Library Bay.
Gang, gang.
Pat the Gat.
Hey.
AKA Talking Mommy.
We have you on today's episode of Cabronas y Chingonas. That was the best I could do at an NPR voice, but anyways.
I'm into it. I like have a crush on the voice already.
Thank you. Yay. At least someone does, right? Like, no. But what have you guys been up to? What have you been watching other than Jenny 6ix9ine's Corrido? That's absolute garbage, but also kind of catchy.
That shit is fire.
Look,
of all.
I felt really like old it, and I washed.
I hate her.
I felt really old and washed because I had to text my sister and be like, why is there memes saying that everywhere?
The soy la chingona que salió de Riverside.
And then my oldest sister, or like second oldest sister, texts me and she's like, have y'all seen this? And we're like, okay, a week later.
See, yeah. I'm still trying to get off of Couch Guy TikTok. And I don't know. I don't know why TikTok is, the algorithm is giving me that, because I don't care about straight people. I don't give a fuck about what they do. So I'm just like really confused why it's being shoved into my algorithm, my For You page.
Some of the parodies were pretty funny.
I don't even know what's going on because they're straight. I'm just like, I don't care. He's probably cheating on you, girl. Keep it moving.
That's like, what the joke
see,
is.
See, I'm like, I don't even know what this is.
See?
Once again, I feel washed. I'm like, what?
All right. Jeez. Am I the only one on TikTok though?
No, I am curious. What is on y'all's For You page? Because they asked Shawn Mendes this question. And I was like, yeah, he has gay things. But what about y'all?
Mine's true crime. Lesbians, sometimes like lesbians that make fun of themselves for being lesbians.
Okay.
And yeah, Couch Guy quite a bit. Quite, like a lot, and a lot of food, like cooking TikToks.
What about you, Pat?
I get a lot of plant stuff.
Okay.
And then I'll get a lot of like queer TikTokers that are like, oh, hi. And then it's like, oh, you're gay if you're watching this. And then I'll get like affirmations, okay. and stuff for full moons and astrology. Like I'm very much, I guess, in the astrology TikToks. And then I've gotten a lot of funny pet ones, but I think that's due to me like finding really weird, like dubbed over dogs acting things that my niece sends me, that now I'm getting all these weird animal ones.
I love this. I love that both of your For You pages are like y'all. Mine, y'all would never guess. It's so fucking random. Like, it's not even me. Like, I have celebrity gossip. Yes, okay, half, like, it's like, it's not as K-pop-y as you would think, though. Like, it's K-pop, it's like conspiracy theories that are just dumb, like the dumb fun ones that are innocent. I had doorknobs for a while. Okay. People making doorknobs, by the way.
Oh, okay. I was like, what does that mean? Is that an underlying message that I'm not picking up?
No, doorknobs is not code for anything sexual or anything weird. It's literally just this chick who says nonsensical things while making doorknobs. And like...
All right.
Yeah. And then I think the last one would be like celebrity gossip, I think. Yeah, just like I follow this chick that her name's Hello Teffy, and she just like has a series of like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, and I live for it. And I'm just like, yes, I'm here. Tell me more. I already knew.
I saw
all these
something
things.
That Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd are dating or something.
Gross.
What the hell?
Gross for her, but I mean, congrats to him. So happy for him that he's living my dream. It's fine.
I don't believe it. There's no way.
I don't know.
Dude. I don't know. I didn't look into
she's,
it.
Dude, she's over 30, so I just don't know.
Dude, allegedly so. Rebecca Black and Angelina Jolie hooked up, so I don't know.
What
the hell? Yes. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That.
I don't know that. Dude, I don't know. Blind items. I'm on blind item Taylor Swift TikTok as well, but you know, here we go. You know, exposing myself.
All right.
I love our algorithms. what have y'all been watching lately?
Oh, I think a couple of us have been watching Squid Game, along with the rest of the universe.
Shut up.
I feel like I'm purposely, like, haven't watched it because everybody's talking about it, but also I don't really watch Netflix anymore.
I don't either. The gay twice stands, they're called once. They are the ones that put me on because there's one girl who, like, her name's Hoyun, I believe, in real life. Hoyun? I don't know how to say her name. I apologize. But they were just started, like, posting this, like, cute girl with good hair. And I'm like, well, fuck it. I guess I'm watching this now. And that's the only reason I know anything about what's going on.
The concept so seems cute. Cool, though. I probably will get around to it.
It's going
to
break you because it's just...
the concept is cute. It's murderous and, like, violent.
Well, because when people explained it to me, I was like, okay, so this is, like, Battle Royale.
Yes. But worse.
Yeah, because I've heard it's like
pretty great.
When that came out, that was, yeah, no, it was a moment. But yeah, no, I haven't watched it yet.
Like it unites everyone. Like the people that are into like social justice and politics are into it. The sports fans are into it because it's a game. The gays are into it because of like two women in particular. It united, it's like what Joe Biden wanted to do. It's like united a nation.
Oh my god. I do like watching the memes of the little animatronic doll thing.
Yeah. You should watch it.
And like they dub it with the music. And
that's another thing, Squid Game TikTok. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, those are funny.
How they didn't actually translate it correctly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Part two. Yeah, I don't. It's
we been new. Have you ever seen like one of the like
the Spanish translations? Shows?
Yeah,
so fucking Harry Potter and Shrek in Spanish. Chef's kiss. They're still some of my favorite dubbing.
Oh, I don't even.
Dragon Ball Z.
Oof. Dragon Ball Z.
In Spanish, it hits.
Sailor Moon.
Simpsons does too. Simpsons is really good in Spanish.
I bet. Yeah.
Oh God, I've been watching anime. That's what I've been watching. Like other than like Squid Games, I've been watching like Yu Yu Hakusho.
You might have to like send some recs over. It's so hard for me to find a good anime.
No, dude. And then Jujutsu Kaisen is pretty good. Demon Slayer is awesome.
Oh, I've heard that's really good. That's what a lot of people want to watch.
I never want to watch like the fantasy sci-fi ones. I want like the lighthearted cheesy ones.
Oh, okay.
I tried Attack on Titan.
Cheesy.
That was too dark. That was so sad and heavy. I was like, why did y'all tell me to watch this?
No, well, I like like funny ones.
Yeah, there's like cute ones. I showed Pat one that was like it had like the subtext of being gay, but wasn't. But like it was beautifully animated. I can't remember what the fuck it's called. It's like the bird and something. I don't know. It was really good. Yeah. Oof. Yeah, anime, Tokyo Sinks. Oh god, Tokyo Sinks 2020 just fucked me up last pandemic. Don't watch that unless you're prepared emotionally.
It's not anti-recommendation.
Yeah, like it's not light, heavy, or cute. It's not those things. It's just, yeah, hyper real disaster anime. So but yeah. So other than anime,
what about you, Pat? What have you been watching?
I don't really watch that much TV, so I've just like been putting myself to sleep watching that series on HBO with Oscar Isaac, just because
Scenes from a Marriage.
Yeah, that I was like something marriage. I always want to keep calling it Marriage Story, but I know that's the Adam Driver one.
Yeah. Just as straight and
yeah, it's super straight. They like teased me for a second and made it seem like there was gonna be a queer moment or maybe some polyamory, but no, it's very straight, very boring. I'm only watching it for Oscar Isaac because he looks good with the beard, but that's about it. No, that's all I've been watching.
Fair enough.
And trying to watch my horror films now that
it's spooky season.
I watched Malignant last night.
How was it?
It was interesting. Like, my friend and I were trying to figure it out the whole time. And then once they reveal what's actually happening, you're like, okay, interesting. Didn't know it was going there, but it did. But it's by, I think he's made a couple other horror films, and a lot of people on Twitter were just saying it was really weird, and they were like, why are we watching this? But then they were also like, it's good. So I was like, all right, let me try.
That feels like it was every, all right. Like, gay movie I've ever seen is like, it's like, I'll put myself through anything. It's like trash. But I'm
just
like,
to see them make out for 5 minutes. Yeah,
like, they're gonna kiss at one point. I'll stand by this.
Yeah, so that's the only things I've watched recently. I haven't been watching too much TV as much as I'd like to. I tried to watch Ted Lasso, but yeah.
That didn't work for you? I've been watching a lot of TV, but I've also been listening to a lot of podcasts. And I actually, I'm not re-listening to it, but I'm like, there's a new season out of one called Up and Vanish. I've probably mentioned it before. But this season is all about like MMIW, which is Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. It's really, really, really good. And like the way that they're just like highlighting it and like talking, you know, we're hearing from like actual Indigenous people and like about all like the kinds of issues like externally and internally. And it's just very interesting season. So, and it's still ongoing, like an ongoing murder investigation, because there's just so many of them, like countless of them.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's why a lot of people were talking about it with that the TikToker, this like online media celeb that was like missing.
Yeah, Gabby Petito. Well, she's not a celebrity, but like they blew up
like online personality. Yeah, but a lot of missing and Indigenous like organizers were talking about the fact that they often erase that, and that's happening all the time. And like, we've had Jody Voice Yellowfish on the Colores Radio, and she's actually the one that does a lot of the organizing for the missing and murdered Indigenous women in Dallas.
Yeah, that's awesome. This one's based in like one of those, like Montana or something. We know one of those like not very populated states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting because this is a huge podcast. This is one of those podcasts that is like top five on the charts a lot of the time.
Oh wow.
So
like, that's cool that they gave the platform on that topic for specifically,
and, like,
them.
So immediately did like so much attention go to them that like they're close to solving this case already that's been shut forever, you know. So it's just great that it's being put out there, especially by, you know, such an experienced, like really good like storyteller, which is Peyton Lindsay. So
my brain is like, are they giving funding or like anything to the missing it? Okay, because I was like, don't be profiting off of it, not actually,
or something like that. And they're also contributing, they already contributed to the like rewards for information given funds.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, check it out. Cool. Up and Vanished, latest season.
Oh wow. That's intense. On a lighter note, have y'all seen Reservation Dogs?
Aww, is it lighter? That one broke my heart.
I didn't finish. I have like two episodes left. That was a really good show, though.
It's really, really good. Yeah, it deserves a lot more of our time, which will come at some point.
I mean, yeah, it like broke my heart, but at the same time, I feel like it's giving a lot of love, you know, like there's a healthy balance of like joy and pain. And I think it's like, it's really beautiful. And what was the one episode with
the uncle,
Willie Jack and her father out in the woods hunting? That was like my favorite episode.
That was really cute. Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm like tearing up right now watching this. It was so well done. I was just like, wow, fathers, what a concept.
Healthy relationships.
What?
They also had a guest star with this lady from Letterkenny, which is one of my favorite shows.
Oh, and yeah, she Dear was Lady.
Amazing. Dear Lady. Amazing episode. I loved it.
Oh, she's been on something else?
Yeah, yeah. She's on Letterkenny, which I highly recommend. They also have like some indigenous representation. It's Canadian.
Cool. Yeah, no, somebody told me about a comic book to read about what did you call her? The deer? What's her name?
Dear Lady?
No. Dear Lady. Yeah, there's a comic book about it because it's an actual like
It's like a
tale.
Yeah, it's like an actual thing that comes up like in the culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. So I was like, ooh.
But a lot of things in that show they're like very accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's awesome. I'm happy to see that they have been renewed for a second season.
Yeah, well deserved. I also caught up on Burden of Truth, which we've covered before.
Yes.
But this latest season, which I think might be their last season, like focused a lot on like their indigenous characters and like even brought in some like traditional stuff and like rituals and stuff. So that's another thing. I think I've accidentally consumed a lot of like media with indigenous people lately. But
that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I know. It's not like, a problem. There needs to be more of it. There needs to be more for you to share.
Yeah, it's incredible.
There should be like accidental stumbles every day. I would love that.
Yeah. Another one is Rutherford Falls on Peacock. They only have like one season.
I heard that one was really good. I've heard somebody else was telling me that was a really good show.
Yeah, it got a lot of good attention.
Oh man, nice. I can't remember. Like, I'm trying to think of anything else that I've watched. Literally Reservation Dogs and the L word, still gross.
I was like, I've been watching a lot of VHS because my friend got her VHS player to work, so I brought my Spice World and we watched that recently.
Oh my god.
Dang.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow,
in the original medium.
Yes, because they didn't make that on DVD, so I was like, I haven't seen this since I was like a preteen, so watching it now I was just like, holy shit, like I still remembered all the lines. I still like was like remembering the parts and the songs. I was like, wow, this really did something for me when I was a kid.
Tell us more. What did it do for you?
Yeah, tell us. I mean, because we know what happened between them anyway, so please.
What happened?
Wait, what?
Y'all don't know what? Okay, y'all, so let's do it. Here's your
conspiracy theory TikTok.
The blind items on TikTok, right? apparently, like, Ginger Spice and Scary Spice, they didn't name themselves, by the way. This was done by the public. They apparently had a thing, and they were, like, hooking up for a while. Allegedly. But then Scary Spice confirmed it on, like, some late night show where she was like... And other people allegedly said that they were hooking up for about, like, a year. So, shout out to the Spice Girls.
I mean, they're
girls.
Stuck in that tour bus. I mean, something gonna happen.
Look, I mean, what else are you gonna do to kill time? Play cards?
Like they were about like girl power.
Like you could only see Posh in little black dresses for so long before something about to happen.
Look, I was Sporty Spice and I was committed to the movement.
Did y'all? Was I too young for it? For some reason, I never. Was
never,
able
like bought into
I
Spice
caught
Girls?
The tail end of it, like I was really really young, and you I remember young. it was like at the height of its prime, and then like by the time that I became sentient, like I don't know what the hell happened.
Dude, it was a moment. I was like five.
It really was.
It was like
the girls were living. Yeah,
I was living. Like I would hear a song and I would like lose my shit. I could be in like a different room. I'd run into the room that it was playing in and I'd be like, those guys. Like, no, I love them. Like it like explains my obsession with Twice to this day. Like, I'm connecting the dots. I'm like, oh yeah, I like Twice. Ooh. I like Spice Girls. It makes sense. Like, I've always liked this, and now
girl
it's just
groups.
Girl groups. Yes. Y'all.
That was the only girl group that I was like super obsessed with. I was like into Destiny's Child for like a minute.
Me too.
But I remember being in Mexico City when I was like 10 and like being like obsessed with buying Chupa Chups because they had like a Spice Girls like. thing that they like the paletas came with stickers
marketing and in Mexico, bro. That shit went well, hard.
Like the late 90s, early 2000s, like pop groups time. Were banking on like all of that marketing because I like bought candies, I bought chicle, I had the Posh Spice Barbie, which I'm like to this day, I like talked about it with my sister. I was like, I really don't know why I was into her because I'm not like a high femme, like fashionista kind of girl, so I don't know if maybe there was an underlying crush there that I didn't
underlying
know about
crush.
Confirmed.
But
I liked Baby like, Spice. I you know what, I was five. I look I take no look my we were children, Pat. It's okay, you like Posh, okay. I like Baby. It's okay.
I know, I was like, and I don't even know. Yeah, it was just yeah, so Posh Spice was my chosen Spice Girl.
Did you guys have, were you guys into Rebelde when it was happening?
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
Roberta.
Roberta.
Really? And then there was, yeah, there was a few there.
Might that, you know which one I like.
A
it,
few
her
hotties.
Name was Might
In real life.
In real
yeah.
life.
Did y'all ever see them in concert?
Her name on
though?
There, was it, what was her name? It was like a basic name on there.
I'm like looking up their names right now because I forgot.
But did you hear that they're remaking it, dude?
Anahí was the blonde-headed one.
Yeah,
she was playing Mia. She
no,
was,
you cannot.
She was
make,
Mia.
There is no.
They're
other
remaking it. Like it's already in the works. There's like a trailer out.
Oh God, I'm gonna watch it.
Well, I was gonna say, I know they were releasing new music. I think the only one that wasn't back on was like Alfonso Herrera. I think wasn't joining the band again.
I think. Mm-hmm. I thought
but, like everybody
wasn't back either.
Was she not back either? Mm-mm. I know that there was a couple of.
But
them
that was like coming. A while back. Oh, Lupita was her name.
Lupita.
Oh, okay.
Lupita and her little roommate had a thing, and y'all can't convince me otherwise.
There was one that was, like, real gay. Like, I think her name was literally Jose. And, like, Jose Luján.
Yeah, Jose Luján and
like,
Lupita.
Energy.
They had energy, and they were roommates, and they were, like, obsessed with each other
oh,
unnecessarily.
Yes.
Do y'all remember?
Like,
yes,
had
I do.
Hella vibes.
Oh,
oh
my
man.
God!
Was, did anyways, yeah, they're remaking it, and I'm like, I hate to say it, but I'm like, I actually really want to see it.
I do too.
I've been wanting to rewatch the show in general, but I don't even know if that's available anywhere. Maybe
and
I have to find it on YouTube.
It was on Netflix for a long time,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it?
Was it?
They must have taken it down because they got like greenlit.
I think like in the last 5 years, they got taken down because I think we had an episode where we're talking about like how I think it was on Netflix or something for a while.
Yeah.
But oh my God, did y'all see them? Okay, so they came to Walmart in Crocker Hill in Dallas.
They were at the most ghetto Walmart.
They shut
in
that
all of
shit
Dallas.
Down.
Me and my mom couldn't get like near because there were helicopters, dude. It was like a helicopter.
Yeah.
There was cops blocking
I don't know
streets.
What they were thinking.
Like, me and Eva went to the concert at the what was formerly known as like Pizza Hut Park.
Oh my God.
But at Toyota Stadium, my like, her godfather bought us tickets, and me and Eva were like in the nosebleeds. Could not, they were like little like dots, but
yeah.
We were just like living.
You're like, wow.
Yeah. And like, when I interned with FC Dallas, I like sent her a picture because it's like a concert venue as well, outside of just being a soccer like stadium. They had a like commissioned canvas that was like the poster of the like Rebelde tour, and then it had all their autographs, and I was like, Eva, look.
Oh my God.
Here's my,
Rebelde.
I was like, wow, look at my like teenage self being validated now, coming back working here.
Y'all heard Sálvame live? Like, I can't even fathom that. Like
yeah
dude. But like seeing this new like trailer where they showed like the new characters, I was like, okay, some of these, like, if you don't make them gay, like, you're gonna get criticized. Like, you can't even like fake shit.
But Giovanni's character was gay without like them saying he was gay, or did they?
Yeah,
I can't
they
remember.
They couldn't stamp it down from the actor.
Yeah,
the actor was like, "Hi, I'm here."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like that they couldn't stamp that out. Like, it was so obvious.
Yeah.
It was great.
Mm-hmm. Like, we all knew.
We knew.
Yeah.
But they didn't say it.
Exactly.
But Lupita and Jose, they had a thing, and I don't care. They better take it there
dude,
this time.
Like,
I know, like, literally seeing their pictures right now, it, like, when you said that, it, like, boom, I like, hit, like, brain. I was everything like, oh, came God. Flushing in. Yeah, I was like, I remember the drama.
Oh my God. Anyways, that'll be interesting. What else made you guys question your sexuality as a kid?
Oh God, everything. A woman breathing near me.
Where do we start? No, I'm just kidding.
For me, it was like John Tucker Must Die.
Oh, I know the exact scene.
The exact scene. Because there's only like one thing on there that could possibly make you like Brittany Murphy.
And I was like, I guess I need to watch that movie because I don't remember. I remember you don't being need to like, watch the oh, movie. It's a bunch of girls fighting over a guy. So trust me. I was just like over it and I didn't watch
there's
it.
There's no, you don't have to watch the movie. The scene was up on YouTube. In 2007, okay, well, after 2006.
After this episode, I will make sure to look it up. I know, like...
It's Brittany Snow, by the way, not Brittany Murphy.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
R.I.P. Like,
Hello Teffy's doing, like, a series on Brittany Murphy and how she died. And R.I.P., our aww. Queen, our Luann.
I saw Brittany Snow at a concert once, and I was like, what the hell? You're just, like, in the crowd, like...
It was, like...
Just for funsies, like this is a really small venue, like, and she was like a few feet away from me. I was like, what is she doing here?
I mean, even doing anything now? I don't think so. Like, I remember seeing her on
this was
American...
like 3 years ago. Yeah. Like,
okay,
chilling on her Pitch Perfect money as she should. I wouldn't do nothing.
Yeah, some tall, basic white guy. I'm like, go back and hang out with Sophia Bush again. That was a good time.
Damn.
Sophia Bush been out here. But what about you, Pat?
For me, I mean, like, personally, when I was, like, thinking of things, like, for me, the things that have, like, made me question my sexuality, like, Cruel Intentions was one movie that I was, like...
Ooh, that's a good one.
Into Ryan Phillippe, but also into this, like, Selma Blair and Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, making out moment. I was, like, what's happening? But also, like, this guy and her are hot together because, like, Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe ended up, like, marrying after that. But
Reese
I was like,
Witherspoon, sorry, go ahead.
Oh my God.
So, like, watching
oh my God,
that
I know what you're thinking
like,
about, Maitha.
They, like, underlying had, like, when I watched it last year with my sister, she was like, why did you watch this? But I was very much into all that, like, wealthy, elite, rich kids that were, like, having access to do whatever they want and we're like savage, but like there's like some queer moments in there that I was like, oh. Look,
that Sarah Michelle Gellar tension with women thing, it's just it's everywhere she goes. Buffy,
yeah,
oh my God, Buffy.
I mean, she won like a best kiss with Selma Blair for this movie on MTV Movie Awards. It was, and they made out again, I think, at the movie awards. Yeah,
what
and it was
a great
yeah.
scene. What a great scene.
Yeah,
it's in here right next to the with the fucking movie with I can't remember anyone's names right now. I'm like blanking.
No names, just vibes.
Just vibes. No. Fuck, what is it?
Well, the ones that's going through my head is Miss Legally Blonde and The Good Wife, like going hard on the morning show.
Legally Blonde and The Good Wife, that scene.
trying not to go super spoilery there, but you know, if you know, you know. If you know,
y'all
have the Apple
and
TV,
if you don't,
then
you can
know.
Find out.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like Twitter told me without even me watching.
Twitter, a whole ass spoiled it, but like I couldn't even be angry because I was so happy.
Oh yeah. God, I'm gonna like really out myself for the things that I watched as a little kid, but Clueless. It's perfect to this day. I recently watched it and it like is a perfect moment in time, and also the fact that like it's just Emma, and Emma is also read in this queer context. Like, if you know, you know. Like, rewatch Clueless and it's gay. Like, there's no way that this character is obsessed with this other girl just off vibes, and she does not really care about dudes, and the only dudes she likes are like emotionally unavailable and unattainable. And
have you seen the TikTok about it that describes it as a queer film?
I didn't even need the TikTok. I've been like on this, like, you can ask Glow. I've been on this like Clueless is gay rant for like years, and like I've been like, I'm not crazy. It's not in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed
well, how come
with
we've
it.
No, that I believe you because the TikTok also like made me be like, oh yeah, because like why would she pursue an obviously queer man, like? Why?
Well, not just that, like even the book, even like the other movie.
But she was really obsessed with what's her name's character, Brittany Murphy's
yeah,
character.
And like even in the Anya Taylor-Joy version, it's a little queer because like why are you obsessed? Like it's anytime this character is put into this world, she's still obsessed with this woman. She's obsessed with what women are doing. So I'm just kind of like, this is so fucking like female gaze and also female gaze, right? Like, and I live for both of those things. And it's like, I love it. But Clueless, because I also had a big old crush on Homegirl. Because she was in that crazy video in with Aerosmith. And like, I never recovered from that either as a child. I was small, okay, y'all. I liked, apparently.
Okay, but how did we feel? We're not judging you. We're actually down for this. But how did you guys feel about Bring It On?
Oh my God, they were in love. They were obsessed with each other. I don't know why. Every time that man came on screen, I like would scream. I'd just be like, oh, like I was so frustrated watching it because I didn't understand why she would ever pick him over Elijah Dushku. Also, she was in Buffy and had a lot of energy with Sarah Michelle Gellar, and that also did something to me as a child. So anywhere she went, she was just gay to me. So anyway.
Meanwhile, for me, I'm like bisexual. I'm into both of them, so it's okay with either sibling.
Either sibling is fine. Both, yeah, both preferably.
You have this moment with the brother, but also, like, get it with the sister, too, because she was also really cute. Like, she walked, like, okay, little secret about myself.
Okay.
I did gymnastics for, like, a whole 2 months when I was a kid.
That's
a
secret?
Not a bad secret.
Because it's not like I come off as a person that would be into gymnastics, but when I was a kid, I used to want to be in the Olympics. So my mom like put me in gymnastics when I was like 9, and I quit because I was like, they have me with 5-year-olds. So I'm not going to be a 9-year-old trying to learn how to do a flip. Like, I was like, I want to be on the balancing beam, and like, I want to be doing like the little flips in the air already. And they were like, no, you have to start a beginner. And I was like, well, then I quit. So yeah, no,
you went
her.
In and you're like, I know what I'm doing. Just put me over there where I can break
just
my neck.
Just put me
it's
over
fine.
There already. I'm
if
ready.
I fall and die, then that's fine.
Yeah, so I quit. I was like, I don't want to do this.
You little Capricorn.
So yeah, seeing Eliza Dushku as like this like tomboyish, like hot, like, gymnast that wasn't like an atypical like gymnast like look, I was like very much into it. But also her brother was a musician, so that also wins my heart,
I guess.
So
I mean,
like,
she transferred from Los Angeles. The school has no gymnastics team.
This is the last resort.
That movie, by the way, did not age well. I mean, I think it was just
really
satire.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh, I honestly think it
kind of did.
It has to be.
It has some problematic stuff.
But I think it also called out like white savior stuff, you know, like which was rare back in the day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the part that aged well, is that like actually if we're looking at it the right way, which is, you know, the way we look at things, the whole movie shouldn't have been about them. Don't want it. But also at the same time, I think it was just mainly making fun of like vapid.
Their ridiculous like, standards.
That
and
vapid
privilege.
World in which they live and against, you know, but I feel like they didn't contrast it enough against the Clovers, who were like actually talented and creative and interesting. Like, we need a whole movie that doesn't have Solange and, you know, Bring It On 2. We don't need that. Like, just.
Solange, I forgot about the sequel.
Girl,
I never
honestly,
watched it.
Bring It On, like, walked so that Secession and White Lotus could run. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, God.
I did watch White Lotus. That one was good.
I think Bring It On did it better, honestly. I think they're out of all
did.
Of them. They ran, so the other ones, no.
At the very least, it was, like, way more, like, quotable and entertaining. And they had really cool dance moves.
Jazz hands.
Song mixes were terrible.
God, everything about that was just problematic and bad. But yes, like, but Buffy though, when Eliza Dushku was in Buffy, like they literally just had scenes where they were just like, okay, now Kith. And they didn't. And I was upset.
Damn.
And, yeah.
There was queer characters though on Buffy, right?
Yeah,
Allison.
The sister. And,
yeah.
Not the sister. Fuck.
I was like, I don't know the name of the redheads.
Tara and Willow? I think Tara and Willow. I think that was their name.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but like that, I've seen the ship. I know.
I've seen parts of it in college, but I didn't watch the whole thing like run through because it's a lot of seasons.
It's a lot.
I got into it. My mom wasn't paying attention to what I was watching, so I was like fully watching like Xena, you know, and like
Xena.
I watched Xena.
I thought I was
probably
Xena,
bi.
But it's fine. I thought I was Zena. Like, I really did. I was like, this is the representation I've always needed.
Do you want to be with her? We don't know.
Oh, no, no. I was fully Zena because Zena and Gabrielle had, like, tension and it was being shown.
That was,
and
like, I was the gayest not gay thing that ever existed.
I watched it. They were in love and it was so obvious. And I was, like, 5'6" and I was like, oh, my God, what is happening?
Yeah, I just remember watching that, like, on Saturdays after cartoons and being like, this is cool. Women can be badasses, but, like, yeah.
It was, yeah. It was, like, how have they, like, these to this day, like, haven't? Yeah. There's so much stuff, like, from the, like, late 90s, early 2000s where I'm like, how have you guys not matched up to, like, that era to this day? Like, yeah. How are we struggling this bad?
Yeah, the 2000s were a rough time because that, like, the mid to late 2000s was when I feel like all of it went away and, like, we got, like, really shitty.
Yeah.
Really, like, non-black
things. It went bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s was, like, the best time to be watching TV as, like, a person of color and also a little gay bee. Like, it was a good time. Like, I could just
watch.
They were
taking risks.
Yeah.
They definitely were. I mean, that was Josie. That's what I'm saying. Josie and the Pussycats, when I watched it, I was like, oh.
No, it's like, really smart. That's a really smart movie.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, it was cool. See, for me, I was like, I know with other stuff I watched as a kid that I didn't, like, I didn't know why I liked it, but I was really into was Elvira a lot, which I don't know if y'all watched any of her TV series or any of her movies.
Not really, but I'm a fan in general, just like her vibe.
I like her vibe as well. I know who she is.
She's the mistress of the dark. She's like the dark's queen. So I was really into watching like Tales of the Crypt and Mystery Science Theater. And then she had a TV show called like the Macabre or something like that with Elvira. And she would watch B-rated horror films and like make fun of it.
Wow.
And in college, I in college had like a show that I was like EP for. And it was like essentially like we had a whole run like that kind of like what she did, which was like making fun of the movies and like commenting on it. So she's always had a big influence on me. And she recently came out as queer, talked about being in a partnership, and I was
for
just
like 100 years.
They've been together for like 20 years.
Yeah. Hey, that's,
and I was just like, that's wow,
long. That's a long time, bro.
But especially because she's like a very sexual icon, so she has like her whole ass titties out, and I'm like for it. And she would say really sexual jokes and stuff, and I'd be watching this at like 6 years old because I was really into horror films and just like loved her energy. She was very camp. She just like came out with a book and like announced that she's queer and that she's been in a relationship for 19 years with a woman, and like everybody was shook because she's been like mostly for like the male gaze, but she's here for us too, honey.
She's like, hi, you thought.
Yeah, so it was just like really cool. But I definitely recommend seeing her movies. They're really fun. I had my sister watch one with me last year because I was like, this, like, it's just really campy and silly and dark.
Where can we
find
it?
But she, like, I think she, so she has, she just announced like a Netflix thing that she's doing where she talks about like horror films.
Kind of like what you just described.
Mm-hmm. And then I looked it up and the show you can watch on, it looks like Peacock has it, which if y'all don't have it, I can give y'all my login, Movie Macabre. So you can watch Movie Macabre, and she like talks about a bunch, that's where she does the dubs over the horror films. And then she has like her movies. And I think I saw that she like made 13 Nights of Elvira with Hulu like in 2014. I didn't even know she did that. But yeah, no, it ran for like several seasons.
Oh wow.
And it was just really fun. She even had a ride at Six Flags that I used to go to during Fright Fest every year as a kid, and would just sit there because, you know how, I don't know if y'all remember at Six Flags, this was a long time ago, maybe.
You're dating
little.
Yourself right now.
I'm not making myself seem really old, but they had a thing during Fright Fest in those like that movie theater that they have that loops around, and you would ride a roller coaster with Elvira in her haunted mansion.
Dang, I don't think I ever saw that.
But it was really cool to like watch it. And I just was always really obsessed with her, and I never understood why. So like
now you know.
Well, yeah. So when she like came out as queer, when her book came out, I was like, holy shit! Like, I didn't know what this meant for me until now, and it like my inner child was just like, wow, that's why you've always had a deep connection with her. Like, you love horror film and like dark stuff. So just like her being like the sexual icon and also being like queer bisexual person, I was just like, hell yeah. So yeah, no, I'm definitely, if y'all want to watch some over FaceTime, I would love to do that with y'all.
That sounds like a fun time. I would love that.
She is really great, and like just the lines that she says are like super, like she'll bash and make fun of dudes and say really sexual jokes too. So that's why I was like, why was I watching this? But also it's fine.
Why are we allowed?
Yeah, I was like watching Tales from the Crypt, Golden Girls, and Elvira.
Elvira. I love your childhood.
I know. I was like, based on what we know about each other, we would have been friends as children.
I'm pretty sure. Well, but yeah. I'm 1,000% sure we would have been friends as children.
Yeah.
But also, I think that's the only way I could watch scary movies is if like someone's making fun of them, because I'm like chicken. I'm chicken shit.
And they're like B-rated horror movies, so it's like the fun most ones. Trashiest of trash. The like it's not ones. Even good stuff. It's like the ones that are just available online that you could watch.
I love those.
The slime. Those I watch.
Yeah,
it's always then, like some random shit.
So yeah, it's
all
really
cheerleaders
funny.
Must die. Is it that bad? Like I
okay, no, that's not that B-horror.
But her movie Mistress of the Dark was the one that just came out. Like, I think the anniversary just passed of it being released like 20 years ago. And I think that one's like on Amazon, or I know Shudder might have it. And then Amazon has it, I think, or Hulu, one of them. But yeah, no, they're all available. They're really great. I always recommend them to people to watch during Halloween time, because it's just like, just fun. And parts can be considered scary, but it's mostly like a campy horror film.
Into it.
I just added All Cheerleaders Must Die to my October watch list because I forgot about that movie.
Please don't forget that one. That one's amazing.
I'm almost through. Well, I'm like halfway through with all the Halloween movies.
Did you already watch 5?
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Oh, that one's so good.
It was pretty good, yeah. Okay. For anybody that cares, I'm doing at least one horror movie every single day this month. And every single movie that I watch, I'm posting to a TikTok thread with my favorite outfit from the movie.
Yes. So. Are you gonna go watch the new Halloween in theaters?
Yeah, of course.
I love y'all's dedication to spoopy season and my complete like I'm just waiting for Christmas.
I'm really excited because last year I did like my like gender fluid like non-binary Michael Myers and was wearing like the whole ass Michael Myers mask.
You were
the blue
like
jumpsuit.
You were hot Michael Myers last year.
I was real hot Michael Myers. Yeah, it was the best. It was like I was living
free drinks costume. Michael Myers.
Thank
that's
you,
what you were.
Thank you. So yeah, I'm like continuing.
That's
going to
be the picture for this episode.
I will send all the pictures.
No, I'm just kidding. Michael Myers. Yeah, I would have no, I wouldn't have. No, I wouldn't have. Ha! You can't catch me. You can't catch me. I ain't say nothing.
It's just a mutual birthday drinks. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Birthday buddies. Capricorn celebrating. Yeah. But I'm going to continue the tradition, and I'll say this on here, but I haven't shared it on social media, but I'm going to be Ghostface from Scream this time. So there'll be more spicy photos this Halloween. And people are going to start following my Instagram. But yeah, that's who I'm going to be this Halloween. Because I think I'm going to start doing that. It's taking back all the horror film icons that I love that are typically men and make them non-binary or
gender
fluid.
Bending.
Yeah, so I did a Jack Nicholson on The Shining a couple years ago too. And that was really fun.
That's cute.
So yeah,
I have a question.
I keep going
for
back and forth on what I want to be.
Oh, you're still thinking about it? Like
Yeah, I'm still thinking about it. What was your question?
No, I was gonna like completely switch. I want to know what you want to be now. Like,
I was like, Cynthia, do you have or Cabrona? Do you have your costume?
Usually last year we weren't very creative because we were home. I think we just dressed up as Pokemon because we have those onesies. I don't know. Me and Chloe are still thinking about what it is that we can be because we want to do like a couple's costume, but we want to do.
But y'all gotta include Boogie in it. Y'all gotta include Boogie in the costume.
Yeah, because I think the best costume we ever did was when we were like gay Cheech and Chong. That was like really fun.
Yes.
But I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure that one out. But I'm not really into Halloween. as a gay, I'm pretty
bad. It's like a gay holiday. What the heck?
Yeah, this is our time to be merry and gay.
I know, but like I'm like I guess it's because I'm biased. Like I'm more happy around Christmas and New Year's just because it's my birthday. Oh, so
I'm a Scrooge around Christmas and New Year's.
I know most people are.
I like the cold weather.
Yeah, I think I just like that it's cold and that I'm not at work usually, and those are the two things I celebrate every year. Like.
Not I mean, that's a good reason to celebrate. I get it.
But yeah.
It's no. Also LGBT History Month this month, too.
Oh, really? It's like everything month right now.
Yeah.
I'm like,
what is
overwhelmed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, kind of changing gears. I sent a trailer today for something I'm really, really excited about. Did y'all watch the trailer for Passing?
I did. It has our girl Tessa Thompson in it. So I was like first 5-6 seconds of the trailer, I was like, oh, all right, I'm in, like, this, that's it. But then like I realized that there's an actual book on it and all this other history towards it, like toward like for the movie and like in the storyline. And I was like shook because I was like, this is like a real thing.
It's really gay.
This has been in the works for a long time, right?
Yeah, we talked about this since like maybe 2018 when they first said.
Really? It's been since 2018?
But I think they might have delayed the release because of the panty.
Oh.
But I don't know that. I'm just like assuming here because it's been a long time.
But it's going to be on Netflix, right?
Yeah, or what? Netflix yeah. got the right.
Which kind of sucks because I'm like, does that mean it's not going to air in theaters? Because that would kind of be a good movie to see in a little like movie house.
I mean, most, I'm sure, I mean, I don't know.
I think guess
it's, you know, sure. I was like, I don't know how it is since Roma.
I was
like,
going to say Roma was in a couple of theaters.
But I don't know about any other movies since then, if they make them accessible. I also just miss movie theaters and I just want to find a reason to go.
I mean, I know that here, like, I'm sure I'll find one that I can watch it in theater in. But, like, there's been some small movies, like, that have come out on Hulu recently that they'll come out. They'll be in, like, a random theater in Burbank, you know? Oh, so okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll have to drive to LA.
I mean, like, this is a big deal because, like, Rebecca Hall is directing it and she did write it as well, and it is based off Nella Larsen's short novella, that's what they call it, of the same exact name, and it's about like passing both the racial lines and passing in the it's never like stated plainly because it's like from the 1920s. It's part of that like Harlem Renaissance movement, and like I just remember reading this book out loud to Glow for the first time, being like, no, this shit's gay as fuck, like what am I reading? Like I had to read it for class, and like everyone in the class was like, it's not gay, just me and the professor were like, it's gay. But
I'm like, how did I miss this book when like my whole life I really didn't know anything about this.
I only know about it because of that class that I took, and I was just me and the professor like, no, they're gay, like why did she kiss her neck,
shout
like,
out
why
to did your she professor kiss her hair?
Like what, that's weird. And like everybody in the
I literally just had to watch like read old white male authors and Jane Austen, so I was just not into it.
Oh no, I'm so sorry,
dude. But like I remember like in back in college, people would refuse to fucking read shit as queer. I used to like, even in my screenwriting class one time, I wrote these characters out where I was like, yeah, they're gonna be gay as fuck, and everybody's like, oh, I think the guy and the girl should get together. I'm like, no, what are you
what
doing
guy? Screenwriting?
What guy
screenwriting? I'm like, let me go fight your ex-classmates that I also was in school.
Eva was one of the classmates, but she wasn't one of the ones.
So I was like, that. I don't think Eva would be the one that would tell you.
She wouldn't say that. No, it was somebody else. And I was just like, what are you, like, did we read the same script? Did I write that? Okay.
God damn.
But yeah, they're just going to be like, they're going to have that mindset, you know, like it's wild.
And I thought I was fucking gaslighting myself, and I had to like read it out loud to her and be like, does this sound gay to you? And I'd just start going and I'd be like, no, right, like this is the gayest thing you've ever heard in your life and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Right, like so y'all should read it, it's free on Spotify.
I'm gonna start listening this week.
There's
but how are you feeling about the adaptation based on the trailer? Do you think it's gonna meet up to your
so far, like a lot of Black critics have said it's actually pretty good, and they actually said that she edited it, she fixed it, And this version is like better than the one that she showed, I think, at Sundance the first time. And okay. So hopefully this one's a lot better. I don't care. I've not seen either version, so I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. But there was some like doubt with the casting because they had Ruth Negga and our baby Tessa Thompson. And I get where like the doubt comes from, but I think that's like the whole point of like passing in the 1920s is that like white people mm-hmm. are stupid and white people are ignorant and they don't understand. People come in different shades of everything, so I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to watch it as well and read the book because it sounds really cool. And I know movie and book adaptations don't always work out.
Yeah, seriously. I also went to my library app and checked it out.
Oh yes, it's quick. It's a quick read. It's like 200 pages. You'll finish it pretty fast.
Oh yeah, that's not bad. I need to finish my other books before I start this.
Yes.
But I might just listen to it on Spotify.
No, yeah, it's free on Spotify if you want to do that. And just, y'all should read it. Get your life right. In real life, she couldn't come out. She lived with a woman for the rest of her life. And I think that's very telling about what lines she wanted to really cross and what lines she was passing in. So I thought that was really interesting. Anyway, sorry.
Well, to finish off the episode, I guess maybe we can actually talk about a piece of work that's kind of current.
Yeah.
One that we haven't talked about, but I think we all watched, Hacks on HBO.
Yes.
Yes. I was so happy that it beat Ted Lasso for writing and stuff. Like, I was like, it's honestly one of my favorite TV series that came out this year. And watching it with my mom was kind of fun because, like, being out to my mom as a bisexual is still kind of confusing for her. She still tries to understand what that means. Mm. Watching like this like young writer and like older woman like make jokes and like talk about it like it's nothing kind of felt kind of nice for me to like be able to just consume media with my mom where she gets to see like some bi representation in a way that's kind of like nice and I felt seen because it was just kind of like, yeah, no, this is, it's not like this or that, mom. So it was really cute watching it with her. So I was really happy that it won. I know it was mostly like white cast. But I was like, I really like this.
It's really enjoyable.
Yeah, it was well written.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, I don't know. I think that's like an interesting take. Like, you know, here's this like young canceled white girl, right? But she's not really canceled. Mm-hmm. White people don't get canceled. And
they like canceled her for like calling out like an abuser, right?
I think that's no. What it was. She got canceled for making a homophobic joke and it wasn't funny. It wasn't homophobic. It was making like she was calling out homophobia. But I thought it was interesting because like the whole premise is like, okay, but she's not going to get canceled. So. And she didn't, and that's the whole point. These people are uncancelable. But it was made for very entertaining, very good TV.
Mm-hmm. I was like, it's always kind of hard for me to find something to watch with my mom. The other only other show we binge watched together was Grace and Frankie.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God, I cannot watch that with my mom. Recently. I cannot watch that with my mom.
It's very mom content. Like,
yeah, I think it's mom enough content.
Yeah, so this one was like at least like something lighter. That's the humor was like, okay for me to watch with her and not feel uncomfortable. There was some scenes that made me like be like, oh, but it was fine.
Yeah, I remember like maybe I haven't seen it in a while, right? It's because I was watching it when it was airing, but I just remember being incredibly impressed with it. Like, I think I even told, I was having a conversation with my roommate about how like. There's all these people in, like, L.A. recently in the past couple of years who are like, oh, you know, white people are just, you know, they're not really getting hired right now. Like, everybody wants a diversity role. And I'm like, first of all, that's bullshit. And second of all, like, you know, if people who, you know, want to do some fucking white shit, you know, just do it really well so nobody can complain. Look at Hacks. I just remember using this show as an example of that. Because, like, no one's sitting here really complaining that much about it. Until I guess now in the Emmys, but it's because like it's a pretty good show. But yeah, it's just, you know, I was excited to see it, and like it being obviously about a TV writer was like a next level thing for mm-hmm. me, because like, you know, sometimes you do wonder, like the characters that you find in this world who are writers, like are just a lot.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, given I don't know what the world is like for screenwriters, so you might be able to disagree, but like it felt like it was an accurate portrayal of like somebody trying to like get their foot back in and like make a clean slate with their career, in terms of how she was going about trying to make it for herself. Very girl boss kind of way, though.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I think it just like luckily kind of veered away from that whole thing, like, and just literally went into like the appreciation of like this person who has been a woman in entertainment for so long, like, really. I feel like even though the main character is Hannah, obviously, oh my god, I'm trying to remember her name.
Yeah, no, I was like, I'm drawing blanks too, but I know she won an Emmy for it, and Jean she Smart. Killed. Yeah, she killed that role.
Jean Smart was fantastic, and concurrently, she was on like Mare of Easttown, so it's just like back to back roles of her just being fantastic, and she killed that role. Like the way that she like absolutely slayed that fucking role, and the way that she was written, you know, it was just
perfect. Definitely makes you think of all the old like women in comedy that started in that time period and like pioneered it. She like made you think, oh yeah, no, this is definitely like a real like Hollywood star. Like I, by the end of it, like all the, even like when she was just like looking through archives and researching her like history of like in her career, like it just all felt like a pretty accurate portrayal. And even just her talking about like where she is now and where she started and how rough it was pretty, I don't know. She did as Deborah Vance was really great.
Yeah. And just that risk you take, you know, in general, as a creator trying to do something that you actually like. And it, what I love the most on the screenwriter side was they have this meeting, not sorry if it's a spoiler alert, but they have this meeting with like EPs at a studio, and like so little of it is actually about like talent or experience or anything. It's just like they're looking for a specific voice and a specific person that can like speak to a certain thing, and in this case it was kind of a malicious thing. So it just kind of goes to show like this whole fucking game is political.
Yeah,
so that was interesting.
Do you think they'll come back with the second season?
Yeah, I think that they will, especially after the Emmys and everything. Absolutely. Yeah, I wonder how, what they'll do with it, because this is one of those shows where they had a very strong first season, so it's just bound for a sophomore slump, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know how they would go with the story from then on.
Be surprised. I mean, I don't know. And it never said that it was limited series or anything.
Yeah.
That's been one of, like, the few shows that I've seen starring like a bisexual main character as of late.
Yeah, no, that's one of the reasons why it caught my eye and like why it made me happy, because for me the only like the first thing that I watched that I was like wow was the bisexual by Akavan that I think y'all spoke about on one of y'all earlier episodes, and it made me like fall in love with Desiree Akavan because I was like
where is she
I don't know. I'd be creeping on her because she like she directed what was it? She directed an episode.
Miseducation of Cameron Poe.
No, but there was like a TV show that came out recently that she directed an episode. And I was like, oh, shit. I think she actually directed an episode of Hacks. Rami might have been one. I want to say it was Hacks, though. She directed an episode of... Because you know how a lot of shows now will have like a guest director for...
Well, yeah, most shows have like a different director for almost every episode. Yeah.
I think she directed
She did two episodes from Hacks, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I saw her name and I was like, wow, they got a bisexual director directing a bisexual show.
A bisexual woman of color, yeah.
Yes, and I was so happy. Like, I remember watching it with my mom and being like, holy shit. Like, I didn't say holy shit, but in my head, I was like freaking out. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like a director I really like.
Directors who are like, you know, women of color, especially queer women of color, are really finding a place directing television right now, because you know they're largely ignored in the big movie feature spaces. Yeah,
unfortunately.
Like Aurora Guerrero, one of the most excellent directors ever. She's directing for like Gentified and Queen Sugar, and and you can always tell when it's her episodes. They are just so poignant,
like the style.
Yeah, just and they usually just hit you right in the fucking heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
was it an episode of the first season of Hentified? Now I'm like, do I need to go back?
I don't know
and watch
if she
it?
Directed for the second one, but yeah, like the ones that made you cry in the first season, that was Aurora.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She really is good at that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for the second season too. There's some really cool people that are going to be working on that worked on that second season. So.
Yeah, I saw based on the teaser that they released recently. So I'm curious to see how it goes too.
Yeah. Ooh, did you, I mean, I don't know if you're an On My Block fan, but that last season came out.
I watched the first season. It was cute. And then I started to watch the second season and I never finished it. I like was trying to force myself to finish it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. Interesting. But I get the hype. Like, I get it. Like, the characters, the actors are really great. They're all good. And I love their online personalities. But I just never could continue watching it.
Yeah.
That's the same with, like, Sex Education. Like, I've heard rave reviews on it. Yeah. I even heard that Ariana Brown's, like, poem is, like, featured on the season.
Yeah.
But I haven't even, like, I started watching it again just because of that. Because I was like, I need to give into this show some more. But...
I yeah. guess the last or this latest season, Sex Education wasn't my favorite. Last mm-hmm. season was much better, but I still enjoyed it quite a bit. The reason that I mentioned On My Block, though, was because there was a guest role for Gloria Calderon. She was an actor.
Really?
She acted in it. Yeah, just briefly, though.
That's
kind of
cool,
you know? Yeah, it's just like seeing these people kind of across these platforms.
That's neat.
Yeah, not a lot of... We don't get a lot, but when we do, mm-hmm. I want to talk about it. So,
yeah,
it's good stuff.
No, that's cool.
Well, Pat, why don't we like end it off talking about some of the stuff that you've been up to lately? What are you working on that we can support right now?
So De Colores Radio is back. If y'all aren't aware and aren't listening to us already, we have a Patreon that we like. I've been making exclusive playlists for now that I'm going to be releasing once a month. And I mean, if you know me and you know what I'm super obsessed with is music. So I've been making playlists that a lot of people really loved my first one. So I'm doing stuff like that. And Eva's been doing more videos and stuff for our Patreon subscribers. You can watch the raw unedited videos on our Patreon. So we've been doing all of that. A lot of exciting stuff that we'll be launching here this week. Exciting episodes coming up. We've got a lot of great guests. We had Emilio Cucci, who's actually Meg Thee Stallion's photographer, video connoisseur. He like does all her video and photography. Most of the stuff she posts on Instagram was on the show because he's from H-Town. So yeah, no, definitely like subscribe, follow us. If y'all don't already know who we are, my sister's the host of the show and we've been running for almost 5 years.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know, and people really missed you guys.
Yeah, we missed being in the back in the podcast world and like sharing our stories that we have for people coming on and all that. So it's been fun to be back, but definitely took a lot of work to like get back in the rhythm because we were gone for the whole year last year.
Yeah, it was a hard year to record in, if you guys didn't notice.
No, yeah, no.
Patchy release dates.
Yeah, no, it's still rough out here for us to like try and find a rhythm and take care of our mental health and like take care of ourselves in this time. So definitely shout out to y'all that we're recording and still doing stuff. But yeah, no, that's what I've been mostly doing. I live in New Mexico now. I'm a New Mexican, LOL.
You're halfway closer to me.
Yeah, we'll have to plan a time to meet up soon or something.
Definitely. So what are your socials that we can go to?
So you can find me on Twitter talking about random things that make no sense a lot of times at Tajin Mami. And then my Instagram is pat.arrogine. I feel like I have to say that like on the podcast. And then you can find the De Colores at De Colores Co. on all social platforms.
Perfect. All right, sweet. And we're going to link everything, as always, on our website and most likely on the description and, of course, on our Instagram at CYC Podcast. If you guys also want to check out our Patreon, it's patreon.com/CYC Podcast. We have merch. We have all that stuff. But
yes.
Check out De Colores because we've actually been on an episode or two over there.
Yes. And I know Eva did a couple of the So Fat, So Brave series with you and Favi. And those are really great. I know a lot of our listeners love those episodes too.
It's a very impactful episode. I love talking to them about that type of stuff, and we're overdue, so you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like,
so Eva, you know, if you want to, like, if you're listening to this,
yeah, that would be great. The people want it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm
sure there's a big Latinos Who Lunch shaped hole in everybody's heart right now. So hopefully, at some point soon.
Yes.
But yeah, but thanks for coming on. You know, we always, I was like, we didn't even try to plan a whole lot for this episode because I was like, it doesn't really matter. She's going to hop in, they're going to hop in here, and like, we're going to be like, yeah, like, just talk shit for an hour and a half. Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like that's what happens anytime we catch up, anyways. So that's, I was like, all right, this sounds fun.
Yeah, I was not worried. I was like, I don't need notes.
Well, thanks y'all for having me. I'm always appreciative of y'all and the show. You know, y'all have a big place in my heart. I'm really happy that our like podcast, all like podcast family brought us together, because I mean, we've almost known each other for about almost 5 years now too. So
yeah, damn, that's a long time.
This is a pretty serious relationship, if you ask me.
Oh, did we DTR? Oh shit.
Yeah, we're pretty steady now. All right.
Oh boy, where's my Letterman jacket?
All right. Well, thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime. Like, come back anytime. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And then pretend that Cynthia / Cabrona is saying goodbye here. We're going to just pretend.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Bye.